A few weeks ago, we considered how the church began in the book of Acts. And then we got to how the church grew, how it began to spread out from Jerusalem into Asia Minor. And we got into a brief review of church history and then thought about where we are as Grace Fellowship Church here in 1985 and how we fit into the flow of church history and how that looks. And because we are in the midst of considering installation of elders to be a permanent leadership for us, well, it would be good for us today then to follow up to think about the role and function of elders in a local church. And that will affect all of our lives. And as happens in home and family, a lot of funny things come in church life. A lot of amusing, entertaining things happen. For instance, two fellows were talking, and one of them said, "Well, our pastor can speak on any subject for an hour." And the other fellow said, "That's nothing. Our pastor speaks for an hour without a subject." So then a fellow was holding a week of meetings in a church. And along about Thursday, he was staying in a home, one of the families. And he was shaving in the morning, and the bathroom door was open, and the blood was running down his cheek. And the little girl in that family stopped by and said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "I was thinking about my sermon and cut myself." And she said, "Mister, what you ought to do is think about your shaving and cut your sermon." So, then one time a pastor was ill, and there was a committee meeting. And when he returned, one of the fellows brought a card and said, "Pastor, while you were ill, we had a meeting and to vote on whether to send you a get well card. And you won 5-4. Well, it goes on and on, doesn't it? Our church is important to all of us. And our church leaders are important. And perhaps the most important thing a church does is appoint leadership. So this is a very serious thing to consider, and we want to look at it in that light from God's Word. Let's read one passage of Scripture that says something about elders and leadership from 1 Peter chapter 5. Begin at verse 1. "Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight not under compulsion but willingly according to the will of God. Not greedy for money but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." So the Apostle Peter gives something of his personal testimony there regarding being an elder and what elders are to look like. Now, one of the questions that is asked and is not so easily answered is, what is a church? What is a church? How is a church different from other groups in a community that meet together? How is a church different from a Kiwanis Club, a Lions Club, or any other service club, or a PTA, or city council, or people like that who meet? What is the difference? What makes a church? Well, one thing a church is not is that it is not an organization with systems. It is rather an organism that is living and alive. Another thing a church is not is that it is not a building with where we have programs. Rather, it is people who are living and alive. A church is not a salve or an ointment to pour onto society to try to make it better, but rather it is a living force of people going for holiness. Now, what are some of the specific ingredients then for a church? A church, a local church, is made up of God's people who have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God, made new creatures. They are different. They have been born from above by God. They have a spiritual dimension to life that goes beyond the natural. You might say they are supernatural people, God's people, who meet together to worship God through Jesus Christ. That is a church. Now you can go on and on with that, but that is a simple directive about a church. Also, probably we ought to say that these people accept biblical authority. The authority for life is the Bible, and that is the sole authority. And so as we meet for a church, the leadership of that church becomes very important. Now, let's get into the role and function of elders in a local church. What is the biblical meaning of the term elder, as we find it throughout the New Testament especially? Well, it is used in one way to refer to people who are of mature age. They are older people, if you want to call them that. They have reached a mature age in life. And you find that translated that way about the elders of Israel and elders, people in a church, a mature age. It is also used to refer to church leadership. And throughout the book of Acts, you find Paul and others instructing them about ordaining elders in a local church, referring to church leadership. Elders are church leaders who have reached or grown to a mature life, no matter what physical age that may be. Elders in a church have a maturity of life. And that is important. Let's think then about the appointment of elders. How do these men get to that position? Well, they must be called by God. There must be a visitation of God upon these men and in these men, an impression upon their hearts to see the importance of this position. And there must be a personal desire about it. They are called of God. One passage that's clear is in Ephesians 4:11 through 16, where Paul is saying that the Lord gives to the church prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So leadership is given to the church by the Lord. It is His doing. No man can come along and just arbitrarily of himself say, I want to be an elder. I want to be a leader. No man could set himself up in the priesthood that way. They were chosen and called by God. God did it in their lives. And Peter gives personal testimony here about being an elder. Now, another part of the appointment of elders is that they are confirmed by the church. Let's just turn to Titus 1:5. And that's just before Hebrews there in your Bible. And we find Paul writing to Titus in chapter 1, verse 5. And he states there, "The reason I left you in Crete was that you might straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every place as I directed you." And as Paul writes to Timothy, he reminds him that the elders there had come and laid hands on him, and he had been included and appointed as an elder of a church. So it's a calling from God, but it's a confirmation from God's people. And that must be there. No man can set himself up as a leader of a church. The people in that church must recognize that in his life and desire that. A man cannot lead a people if they do not respect his leadership. So there must be a confirmation and a confirming by the people in regard to that, and especially by the elders that already exist. There is an appointment there and a confirmation there that has to be real. Some people talk about the fellow that said he had the gift of preaching, but he couldn't find anybody with the gift of listening. So it has to work both ways. The confirmation from the church. Well, then specifically, what is the role of elders? Well, one thing that's very clear and just stands out is the matter that they are leaders. Elders are leaders of a local church. And you and I have to face the fact of leadership. It begins very early in the New Testament. We find Adam and Eve created by God. Adam is ordained as the leader of the marriage and the family. And we find that working all the way through Old Testament history with Abraham and Noah. And when there is a nation known as Israel, God gives them leaders. When there are other nations that come into existence, leadership is given and established. And we read in the New Testament that governments are ordained of God. Now, why did God set up leadership? Well, He Himself is a leader. God is a leader with authority. And He gives leadership on earth for the purpose of order and design and peace and unity and harmony so we can live together in a decent way. Whether in a marriage or a family or a nation, there needs to be leadership. Now, we learn about that very early in life. An infant is confronted immediately with the fact of leadership and authority. And the infant says, I want my milk. And I want it now. And if it doesn't happen, and if the leader of that infant is late or whatever, how does the infant get the milk? Cries and stomps and has temper tantrums and turns blue or whatever. And there's a conflict there over immediately between authority and leadership and the infant. Later on, when the child is at the table, authority and leadership is revealed in that the parents will say, eat two more bites of the good food, and then you can have the bad food. Well, maybe not bad food, but whatever. So there is an authority and a leadership, and it's necessary that that leadership exists for peace and harmony, unity. There is the fact of it. And so when God ordained churches, leadership is necessary, and it's a fact. Now, we learn a lot about the manner of church leadership, which is not as the world. And Peter explains some of that here as he writes to us to say how you are to do this. He said, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. It's different. It's not a tyranny. It's not an absolute dictatorial kind of slavery. It's to be done lovingly and humbly as servants of the Lord. We probably ought to turn to Matthew chapter 10 for a moment. Well, 20. Matthew chapter 20. and see what our Lord taught these men about leadership and their attitudes toward it, and rebuke them for poor attitudes that they were having. Matthew 20. And we'll pick it up at about verse 20. Matthew 20, 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup. To sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard this, they were more indignant with the two brothers. And Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So there we have the principle of leadership given by the Lord. It's a loving, humble, servant leadership. And the elder in a church is to be the ultimate servant of the church. That's the way he leads. Our Lord Jesus Christ led by serving. And he is set before us as the pattern and the example of that. So we have elders as leaders, and their manner of their leadership is to be in a loving, humble servanthood. Now, the Scripture gives us several direct biblical functions of leaders. One is the fact that they oversee. Let's turn to Acts chapter 20 and begin to read there about elders as Paul is teaching them. Acts chapter 20, I think we'll begin about verse 17 there in Acts 20. Now, as we think about the word and the function and role of elders, there are three words at least used in the New Testament that are used interchangeably, and I think that it's safe to say there's a general agreement about this. These words are translated overseer, elder, and pastor, sometimes shepherd. Now, they are used to refer to the same office, but a bit of a different function in that office. A word translated overseer, or sometimes bishop, would refer to the leadership. When the word translated elder is used to refer to a maturity of life, the word that is translated pastor is used to refer to the servant function of the role of elder. Now, the same word that is translated pastor is also translated shepherd. He is the shepherd of the flock. Now, Paul is having an experience here as he is going to leave for Jerusalem, and he calls for the elders of the church from Ephesus. Acts 20, 17. "From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, 'You know how I've lived the whole time I was with you from the first day I came into the province of Asia.'" And he speaks of how he lived among them in sincerity. And verse 25, "Now I know that none among you whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will or counsel of God." Now this is his directive. "Guard yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers or leaders, be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will rise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to the word of his grace. So we have the direct function of elders as overseers. They give leadership. They watch over. They investigate carefully. And they give leadership that way. Secondly, they determine church policy. Again, in the book of Acts, in chapter 15. Acts 15. Now, an important occasion arose. Paul and Barnabas were others out preaching the gospel. Some Jewish people were saved, some Gentile people were saved, and the question would come, must the Gentile Christians keep the law of Moses and be circumcised? And so the first church council was held to decide that issue. Acts 15:1. Some men came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed along with some other believers to go to Jerusalem and see the apostles and elders about this question. So they went. Verse 6, the apostles and elders met to consider the question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them, brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the disciples a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear? No, we believe that it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved just as they are. And so the elders with the apostles came to study the question and to come to a decision and solution. And their answer was no. Circumcision is not a requirement. Keeping the law of Moses is not a requirement, must not be. And so they sent letters to the churches with their directive and with their decision. So the elders determine church policy. Another thing they do is appoint new elders. Now, we read one verse about that. We don't need to do it again. But we have Paul directing Titus to go and appoint elders. So elders are appointed by elders. Another thing that they do in direct function is to preach and teach. And this passage is very clear in Ephesians 4, 11 to 16, in 1 Timothy, and in other passages. But I think that's very clear that one of the main functions of an elder is to preach and teach. And he is to be very, very concerned about the truth. He ought to be doctrinally aware and alert and interested. And he ought to have a keen interest in theology and the study of God and communicate that. Now, elders also exhort and confront. Titus 1:9. God gave instructions to Titus to go there and confront the false teachers. Do not allow this to continue. Confront it and exhort the saints there. And so there is that aspect of it. They also protect from error. And we talked about that a little bit the chapter we just read in Acts 28 made it very clear that Paul was saying to them, be alert and on guard, because there is going to be savage false teachers come in. Wherever the reality of the gospel is presented, there will be opposition by false teachers. And it came along very quickly. And the elders and the leadership of those churches were to be very alert about that and to protect from error. That was their role and what they were to be doing. And then they are to shepherd the flock. We read about that in several passages of Scripture, as we read in Acts 20. One of the exhortations there was for the elders to shepherd the flock. And as we read in 1 Peter, that's what he is telling them to do. I exhort the elders among you, shepherd the flock of God under your oversight. And so we need to think about that. The word that's used of our Lord's ministry is shepherd. And the elder is to shepherd the flock among you, not lording it over and so on. And this is really what it boils down to. If you think of an elder and think of church leadership, what is the principal role and function? A church leader and an elder is to be a shepherd of the flock. You think through that, you could boil it all down to this: shepherd, pastor. What do they do? Well, they work with the sheep. And that is the main function. What is an elder? Well, he's in the people business. People are his business. And that's the main business. Not to develop an organization, a structure, or a program, or a system, but to work with people, to work with the sheep, to have a heart for the sheep. And that's the role. Now, what kind of sheep are there? Well, there are all kinds of sheep in the flock, aren't there? There are baby sheep. That is, those who are new sheep, new Christians. And they are called babes in Christ. And they must be instructed. And they must be cared for. Now, there are also sheep in the flock who are not baby by age, but baby in attitude. Those who never seem to grow up. And in Ephesians 4, we're instructed not to remain as infants tossed back and forth by everything, but to grow up. And the elder must work with baby sheep in that regard. What other kind of sheep are there? Well, there are proud sheep. There are arrogant sheep. And they must be worked with. What other kind of sheep? There are stubborn sheep. And they are in the flock. There are angry sheep who are disruptive, and who are argumentative, and who exist to create problems. And they are a part of it. There are hurting sheep who have been through some tragedies of life and who have faced deep trials, and they hurt and they are depressed. There are wayward sheep. And if you read the book, the shepherd looks at Psalm 23, Mr. Keller there, who owned a large sheep ranch in South Africa, talks about some of the sheep who are always trying to get out of the pasture. Always trying, if there's a fence there, they find a way to break it down or keep trying to get out. You know, the wayward sheep. And we have that in the flock of God. What other kind of sheep? Well, we have sick sheep. People who are hurting physically, who need special attention and care. Then there are lazy sheep who just won't get with it, refuse to help, refuse to give, just a kind of hang around but not really a part of the flock. Then there are restless sheep. And I think they are the ones with the legalistic attitude, who seem never to have peace about anything, but always disturbed and restless. And so, as we think about elders and shepherding the flock, we have to think about all kinds of sheep. And the leader and the man who has the role of elder must be committed to all the sheep and to work with all the sheep. Unpleasant as that may be at times, he keeps on working with all the sheep. And then there are the wonderful sheep, those who are hungry for the truth, those who respond and grow in the Lord, those who are appreciative, and those who want to pursue a holy life, and those who live in humility, and those who love and care for the rest of the flock. What a great thing that is, and what a wonderful thing it is to be in the flock of God and see that care and love and the pursuit of others continuing in and among the flock. That's a great thing. It takes leadership. And probably the role of elders is to be an example of that kind of leadership. And so we have the role and function of elders in a local church: to give leadership, to oversee, to guard the truth, to preach and teach the truth in a way that people can grow so that we become more and more hungry for the truth, and to be in the people business, and to be committed to people, and not just the people that are easy and pleasant, but to every person in the flock, and to stay with that person in commitment through all the kinds of things that come along in life. That's an elder. And it's a wonderful thing that God gives men the privilege of having that role in life. Now, what are some of the things we find in the New Testament about the directive to the church? What does the flock do in response to the leadership? Well, we learn one directive right away, and that is that they are to pray for the elders. And that's a responsibility of all of the people of Grace Fellowship as we think about that. Pray for the leadership of the church. Pray for them, because they are only men who come out of total depravity, who are saved by the grace of God, who are in process of growth. No one has arrived. And so they desperately need the prayers of God's people. Now, let's say if your role was to disrupt or to destroy the work of God, let's say you were Satan, and it was your passion to destroy the work of God and to ruin a local church, how would you do it? Well, your strategy would probably be to get at the leaders and to bring such heavy temptation upon them that they would give in to sin, or to disrupt their life so that they would not be the men of God they should be. So the leaders need prayer. Pray for the leaders. Now let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, along about verse 12, and find another directive to leaders. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12. And we find a directive to the church. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in highest regard in love because of their work, and live in peace with each other. So there is an honor and a respect toward God's leadership that He ordains that we need to be very careful about. And the flock of God is to have that attitude as we live and work together so there can be peace and harmony. Respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in highest regard and love because of their work. Now, they are no better than anyone else. It is not a question of superiority or inferiority, because there are leaders does not make them superior or other people inferior. Because a man in a marriage is ordained as the husband, as the leader of the marriage, does not make him superior and his wife inferior. Because the Lord Jesus Christ came here and was born as a baby and lived here as a son, did not make him inferior. And there are other ways to look at this. We have a president of the United States. He is to be held in high regard because of his work. But he is not a superior person, and we are inferior. It's not an equality that's in view here. It is a matter of living together with leadership so that we can have peace. And leaders in the church are to be held in respect. Now, sometimes people say, well, what do you call a pastor? How do you address him? And sometimes people are who haven't been around church a lot are very uncomfortable in the presence of a pastor. I notice this on the golf course sometimes when men will join us and we don't know them, and then they will ask, well, what do you do? And I'll say, well, I'm a pastor. And suddenly their language changes. And they'll say, oh, I wish you would have told me sooner. And you know, I say, well, it's not me you have to worry about, really. What do you call them? Reverend? What is it? Whatever you call them, do so with respect. Some people have called me reverend with disdain, not liking to do that. Lots of people call me Bill with great respect. I appreciate that. Whatever you call a person, do that with respect. And that's right. That's what's right. And give honor. Pray for the elders. Give honor and respect to the elders. In Hebrews chapter 13, let's look at that in regard to that question also. The attitude that we're to have, what the elders look like, and what it's called for. Beginning at verse 7 of Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13:7. Remember your leaders. That's a way of saying pray for them also. Who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Now, that would be wonderful if we could say that of every Christian leader, every church leader. And what a challenge that is to one who has that position to be able to say, live as I do and imitate my faith. We find the Apostle Paul saying that continually to people. And what a life, what a free conscience he must have had to be able to say, I have lived among you these 3 years, and you know the manner of life. And that for night and day, consistently, I spoke to you all the word of God with tears. And I have nothing on my conscience. Follow me and imitate my faith. What a wonderful thing. And it ought to be happening. It ought to be that the people of a church could follow the leaders of the church in their life. Also, verse 17 of that same chapter. Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. So there is the prayer for the leadership. There is the honor and the respect and the acknowledgement of the need for leadership. And we are to follow. And so we thank God today that there are directives given us in the Word of God as to how to be a local church together, fulfilling the mission of the Lord in our area and recognizing His calling. Leadership is right. It must be. We need it. And we are all confronted with leadership all the way through our life, not just as children, but as young people and adults. As long as we live on this earth, authority and leadership is a part of our life. And it's right and proper in a local church and important in a local church. And the most important thing that a church may do is establish the leadership of elders. And so we have looked at some of the Word of God about that. Next week, we'll look at the qualifications for an elder, as we're told in Scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. It would be very helpful if during this week you would review those passages of Scripture and come next week ready to study and learn about the qualifications of an elder. And these qualifications are not limited just to elders, but are to be considered by all of God's people as something to look at our life in terms of holiness and so on. And so we grow together. And after we have had the message next week, before a long period of time takes place, we trust that there will be people raised up by God from this congregation to be the elders of this people, to do the work at this time in history, in 1985, to lead the flock of God toward holiness and righteousness. And may God bless His word to our hearts.